Angela.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Say again.
How are you?
Oh, well, Tim, I'm well.
Okay.
I think Batya has fallen asleep because she had a very busy day. And
Yeah.
she's normally on by now. Well,
Yeah, I talked to her earlier. She said she really had a busy day today.
it a few minutes so somebody else comes online. I usually wait 10 minutes. And I'll do the class with just you if you want.
Okay, what are we doing tonight?
This is the ninth class in the Esther Sefirot, on the Hakdama, on the introduction. So we'd be
Okay.
starting on verse 46, or section 46. No, let's go. We'll start and see. Please help me with join me in the Anabakoach. Anabakoach, Yedula Chemincha, Tati, Serura. Aleph Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Taharenu Nora Tufreshayan Sintet
Nun
Nagibor Gevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. We're going to use the Yud Kaf Shin sequence to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it will be rejuvenated, where it will be healed, where it will be cleansed, and then return that body part back to the body in its pristine state, where it will start to do its job all over again in its perfected state. Barchem tacharem, rachame sidkatcha, tamid gamlem, betet resh, sadi taf gimel. Chasin kadosh, Virov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Tishrei, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Lamed that created the constellation Mosnaim, the scales, the Libra. Yachid Geya Lamcha Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Lushmat Tziakatenu Yodei Talumot Shin Zadi Yud Taf. We're going to read the verse from Samuel Beth. Vesamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael Untati vishakam tachta velo yirgaz od velo yosifu Vene abla la anoto kasher barishona. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. I'm reading from the Parsha of Noah. Section 11, the punishment in Gehinnom. Verse 69. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar b'Gehinom Eat madorin al madorin Tanyanin telitain Ad sheva v'ha upruha Havraya v'zakain Inun tzadikaya, inun mistamrin, mehove hayavaya, vela azle biarchaihu, vela mistave, behove kol man de istav, kada zil hahu, almanachit leg. Lagehinom v'nachit ad madora tata. Rabbi Abba said that in Gehinom there are compartments upon compartments, seconds, thirds, and so on, until seven. Our friends have already explained this issue. Happy are the righteous who guard themselves from the sins of the wicked, and do not follow in their paths, nor defile themselves. For when a person who has become impure dies, he passes on to the world of truth, and goes down into Gehinnom. There he descends until he reaches the lowest compartment. The verse is very clear and it's straightforward. There are seven levels of hell, and a person starts in the lowest level if he is an impure person, if he has connected himself to the desire to receive for oneself alone. He goes directly down to the first lowest level, and then he will rise up quickly depending on the amount of cleansing that he needs. So, and even righteous people go to Gehinnom, but they only go to the top level. And when they leave the top level, when they elevate up to the Garden of Eden, they take with them all of the souls and some of the souls that are not yet clean. They take those souls who are ready to elevate. They take them with them. Are there any questions? Tonight's class is Esther Sefirot, class number 9. It's available on the Revealed Wisdom page in the second column from the left. And it's in the section called 10 Luminous Emanations. We are reading from the introduction to the Esther Sefirot by Rabbi Ashlag. And we're starting out with my commentary, even though we're going to be reading from verse 46 shortly. There will be no commentary until the end of section 53. From section 46 to 53, I did not write any commentary. These sections are defining for us the concepts of face, concealment, and double concealment. Until they are defined and understood, the world is very difficult to understand and to live within, as we will soon see.
Excuse me. I know we did that one last week.
We did. Do you know where we ended?
Section 60.
Section 60?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll start there. Section 60. Yet in this repentance he did not correct at all the first concealment of the face, which he had had before, but only from now on, after he has attained the revelation of the face. In the past, however, before he had attained repentance, the concealment of the face and all the mistakes remained as they were, without any change or correction whatsoever. This is so because then, too, he believed that the troubles and the suffering came to him as punishment. As it is written, they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? In my commentary, these last few sections seem to be repeating themselves. Do not make that mistake. When one is covered in a klipah, that klipah will hang on and create misconceptions about cause and effect. That is why the Talmud repeats itself in different ways from different sages, and also why the Zohar repeats itself in the same way, and also in this Hakdama. Rabbi Ashlag is causing you to break the klipah that is causing you to misread cause and effect. Then he needs to break it again and again until you will be able to see the true cause and effect. You need to pulverize that shell. Just breaking it in half still leaves parts of the light covered and concealed. It needs to be pulverized. It needs to be, like, as a metaphor, ground into fine sand. Verse 61. Therefore, he is still considered incomplete righteous, because one who is awarded the revelation of the face, namely the complete measure of his goodness as befits his name, is called righteous, which is item 55. This is so because he justifies his providence as it truly is, that he is utterly good and utterly perfect with his creations, that he is good to the good and to the bad. Hence, since he has been awarded the revelation of the face, from here on he merits the name righteous. However, since he has not completed the correction, but only the concealment within the concealment, and has not corrected the first concealment, but only from here on, that time before he was awarded repentance, still does not merit the name righteous. This is because then he is left with the concealment of the face as before. For this reason, he is called incompletely righteous, meaning one who still needs to correct his past. My commentary. This is quite clear. To complete our tikkun, we need to transform all negative actions to positive actions. This is complete repentance. This takes the kind of correction that I teach you in the basic and the advanced teshuvah classes. My next commentary will be after section 64. He is also called medium, since after he attains repentance from fear, he becomes qualified, though, through his completion in Torah and good deeds, to attain repentance from love as well. then one attains being a completely righteous. Hence, now one is the medium between fear and love, and is therefore named medium. However, prior to that, he has not completely qualified to even prepare himself for repentance from love. Verse section 63. This thoroughly explains the first degree of attainment of the revelation of the face, the attainment and the sensation of providence, of reward and punishment, in a way that he who knows all the mysteries will testify that he will not turn back to folly. This is called repentance from fear. When his sins become as mistakes, this is also called incompletely righteous and medium. Verse section 64. Now we shall explain the second degree of the attainment of the revelation of the face, which is the attainment of the complete, true, eternal providence. It means that the Creator watches over his creations in the form of good that does to the good and to the bad. No one is considered completely righteous and repenting from love, then one is granted turning his sins to virtue. This explains all four discernments of perception of providence that apply in the creations. The first three discernments, the double concealment, the single concealment, and the attainment of providence, of reward and punishment, are but preparations by which one attains the fourth discernment, which is the attainment of the true, eternal providence. My commentary. This seems clear. Rabbi Ashlag is saying the goal needs a process to be achieved. As we learn in our four phases class, the goal of creation is Malchut, which is our world, is man. The goal is perfected man. This process of perfection takes a process called falling to the double concealment, then rising step by step to true and full attainment of providence. In our world, due to our actions, we have fallen so that we can no longer see the face of the Creator. Not only can we not see the face of the Creator, we cannot see the back of the Creator. This is called double concealment. We are rising through a process, and some of us are ahead of others, some of us are behind others in that process. But we are rising in our generation so that we begin to see the back of the Creator, and some see the face of the Creator. Some can see why there is cause and effect, and what is the cause, and what is the effect. Some are doing repentance from fear, and some are doing repentance from love. But until those four steps are gone through by each person, we cannot reach the stage where the negative actions have become positive. That's what's being said in section 65, or excuse me, in section 64. Section 65. But we have yet to understand why the third discernment is not enough for a person, namely attainment of the providence of reward and punishment, We said that he has already been rewarded with he who knows all mysteries, testifying that he will not sin again. So why is he still called medium or incompletely righteous, whose name proves that his work is still not desirable in the eyes of the Creator, and there still is a flaw and a blemish in his Torah and his spiritual work? My commentary. I just realized the term medium is the translation of the term Benoni, which is made famous from the Tanya, which is a commentary on the Zohar written by the starting rabbi of the Chabad and Lubavitch organizations. In the Tanya, man is deemed to have five levels, called eternal tzaddik, a tzaddik, a benoni, a rasha, and a truly evil person. As you can see, Benoni, which means son of the poor, is in the middle. The question occurs as to why there are different terms being used. It is because we are far from the language of branches in the Tanya. The terms are used but are not called language of branches. This leads to different paths of ascent, since the teachers followed a different path. There are four major paths of Kabbalah that diverge from the Arizal, or emerge from the Arizal, the teachings of the Arizal. The four paths are the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, the teaching of Chaim Luzzatto, the teachings of the Gaon de Vilna, and the fourth one, which isn't written here, is the teaching of Nachman of Breslov. Each of these four teachings, these four paths of Kabbalah, speak to different people, different soul roots. Rabbi Ashlag combines all four paths in his teachings. And that's why I consider him the higher order, the fifth order, the Keter level, so to speak. Rabbi Ashlag integrates all of the other four levels. There is a story told about Rabbi Ashlag that when he was translating the Zohar into Hebrew, he literally did that translation in a 6 or an 8 week period. I believe it was an 8 week period. Can you imagine all 24 volumes, 23 volumes of Zohar, making a comment upon them and translating them from the Aramaic into the Hebrew? Did it in 8 weeks. The only way that that could happen, and it the way he described it, is he did not write the translations. His hand wrote the translation. It wasn't him who was writing it. It was some entity that took control of his hand. Just as the Midrash describes Moses writing the Torah scroll as the servant of Hashem. Rabbi Ashlag was said to be a reincarnation of the Ari, who taught Rabbi Chaim Vital that he would return in order to clarify his teachings that would be confused by Rabbi Chaim Vital. And that is why Rabbi Chaim Vital did not want his work, his writings, published. And he buried them with him. And yet some of the Kabbalists felt that the writings needed to be kept in the world. And so they broke open his grave and took the writings out. And that's why we have what we have today. Rabbi Ashlag returned in the 1930s to 50s and translated the Zohar in an 8-week period. These levels of Kabbalah, these paths of Kabbalah, are all related to the root of the soul of the students. A student chooses a teacher based on the root of their soul. They might learn for a period of time from another teacher, but at some point they will feel a lack if the teacher is not coming from the root of their soul. And that is what is being described in section 65. This understanding that the student has risen to a level, but it's not yet complete. He's still feeling a lack. He hasn't corrected all of his actions. They have not become merits. They're still negative actions. Yes, God will say he won't do it again, but he hasn't converted, transformed his negative actions into positive actions. My next commentary will be after section 68. Section 66. First, let us scrutinize what the interpreters asked about the mitzvah of loving the Creator. How did the Holy Torah oblige us to a mitzvah that we cannot keep at all? One can coerce and enslave oneself to anything, but no coercion or enslavement in the world will help one develop the consciousness of love. You cannot coerce someone to love another. You cannot enslave someone to cause him to love another. You can create fear in these ways, but not love. They explain that when by keeping all 612 mitzvot appropriately, the love of God extends to him by itself. Hence it is considered possible to keep, since one can enslave and coerce oneself to keep the 612 mitzvot appropriately, and then he will also attain the love of God. The love of God, the love for God, will automatically come to a person who has done the 612 mitzvot properly. When one has done those 612 mitzvot properly, one attains the level of consciousness of loving your neighbor as yourself. It's the effect of doing the mitzvot properly. Verse 67. Indeed, their words require elaborate explanation. In the end, the love of God should not come to us as a mitzvah, since there is no act or enslavement on our part in it. It rather comes by itself after completing the 612 mitzvot. Hence, we are quite sufficient with the mitzvah of the mitzvot of the 612 mitzvot. And why do we need this last one, this mitzvah of love? Why do we need it written? Why do we need to practice it? It's not really a mitzvah similar to the other 612. It's unique. It's different. Verse 68, or section 68. To understand that we must first acquire genuine understanding in the nature of the love of God itself. We must know that all the inclinations, the tendencies, and the properties instilled in a person with which to serve one's friends, all these tendencies and natural properties are required for the service of God. To begin with, they were created and imprinted in man only because of their final role, which is the ultimate purpose of man. As it is written, he that is banished be not an outcast from him. One needs them all so as to complement oneself in the ways of reception of abundance and to complement the will of God. This is the meaning of everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created in my glory. And also, the Lord hath made all things for his own purpose. However, in the meantime, man has been given a whole world to develop and complete all these natural inclinations and qualities by engaging in them with people, thus yielding them suitable for their purpose. It is written, one must say, the world was created for me because all the people in the world are required for a person as they develop and qualify the attributes and the inclinations of every individual to become a fit tool for his work. My commentary. In other words, Rabbi Ashlag relates the mitzvah to love Hashem to the mitzvah of love your neighbor as yourself. He teaches that the purpose of each mitzvah is to cleanse and refine the character traits and the spiritual levels or consciousness of each person. Then once a person reaches this level, he would receive the consciousness of love of Hashem as the effect of his spiritual work. Please ponder this idea that every other thing in the universe, including all 7.5 billion human beings, are required, are needed for you to reach your highest possible spiritual level and reach your highest level of perfection. You can't reach your highest level of perfection without the peasant in China having been created. But you don't know the peasant in China. So how can you reach your highest level of perfection? Sounds like a paradox, but it really isn't. My next commentary will be after section 74, section 69. Thus, we must understand the essence of the love of God from the properties of love by which one person relates to another. The love of God is necessarily given through these qualities, since they were only imprinted in humans for his name to begin with. And when we observe the attributes of love between man and man, we find four measures of love, one atop the other, meaning two that are four, that was spoken of earlier. Section 70. The first is conditional love. It means that because of the great goodness, pleasure, and benefit that one receives from one's friend, one's soul clings to one's friend with wondrous love. There are two measures in that. The first is that before they met and began to love one another, they did harm to one another. However, now they do not want to remember it, for love covereth all transgressions. The second measure is that they have always done good and helped one another, and there is no trace of harm or detriment between them. Section 72. The second is unconditional love. It means that one knows the virtue of one's friends is sublime, beyond any imaginable measure. Because of that, his soul clings to him with endless love. Here, too, there are two measures. The first measure is before one knows every conduct and deed of one's friend with others. At that time, this love is considered less than absolute love. This is because one's friend has dealings with others, and on the surface, he seems to be harming others out of negligence. In this manner, if the lover saw them, the merit of his friend would be entirely blemished, and the love between them would be corrupted. Yet since he has not seen these dealings, his love is still whole, great, and truly wonderful. Section 73. The second attribute of conditional love is the fourth attribute of love in general, which also comes from knowing the merit of his friend. Yet in addition, now he knows all his dealings and conducts with every person, none missing. He has checked and found that not only is there not a trace of flaw in them, but his goodness is greater than anything imaginable. Now it is eternal and complete love. Section 74. Note that these four attributes of love between man and man apply between man and God as well. Moreover, here in the love of God, they become degrees by way of cause and consequence. It is impossible to acquire any of them before one acquires the first attribute of conditional love. And after it is completely acquired, then that first attribute causes one to acquire the second attribute. And after one has acquired the second attribute to the fullest, it causes him to acquire the third attribute. And finally, the third attribute causes the fourth attribute, eternal love. My commentary. In these sections, we have received Jewish philosophy at its best. Not only philosophy, it also includes the practical knowledge of what each one of us needs to do with our lives. Let me explain. There is a soul living on a peasant farm in China. I have never met this soul in any of my lifetimes, yet he lives in the same generation as I do. What is our relationship? What is our correction? What is our tikkun? At the same time, I have a person to which I am married. Let's ask those same questions. What is our relationship? What is our correction? The answers are the same to the person I'm married to and then the person I've never met. One has a greater potential to assist me in my transformation. That is my spouse. She or he can help me achieve the transition, the changes, more effectively. But the answers are the same. It's just the difference in degree that we are talking about. The transformation from where I am to becoming a perfect tzaddik. This is cause and effect. Once I have achieved the level of doing all of the 612 mitzvot with the proper kavanah, the proper consciousness, once I have reached that level, I no longer need my spouse to assist me, because my love of the Creator is now perfect. I no longer need the person in China, because my love of the Creator is perfect. But so very few of us reach this level of connection, this level of understanding. Next week, we will start with section 75. Are there any questions?
Hi, so much for still, kind of.
Say again.
Can you explain more about between repentance by fear and repentance by love?
I know I did a sin. I know I made a mistake, and it's created chaos in my life. And I look around me, and I'm beginning to see the effect of that chaos, the effect of that sin is the chaos in my life. I'm able to see this now. Why am I choosing to do repentance? Why do I choose to do this? I have become ill with a debilitating disease, God forbid. I know this disease is going to lead to chaos in my life. I want to change myself so that the disease will go away. Why do I want to change myself? Because I don't want to die. I'm doing it out of fear. I'm doing it out of awe. The Creator is so amazing. I'm in fear of the Creator. I'm in awe of the Creator. But then I can reach a level that's higher than this, the level of love, to do repentance out of love. What is this consciousness, repentance out of love? I know that doing repentance will give pleasure to the Creator, to see me use his tools of repentance, for me to be aware, not out of fear. I don't fear. I don't fear dying. I don't fear any aspect of it. But I want to give the Creator pleasure. I want the Creator to know that I'm doing the repentance not from fear, that I'm afraid to die, that I'm afraid of this chaos, but because it's what he wants me to do, and I am choosing to do this myself because I'm in love with the Creator, because I have affinity with the Creator. Was that helpful for you?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Classes tomorrow night at 8:30, a class on advanced reincarnation. Thursday at 9 o'clock, an important connection for Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Saturday night at 10 p.m., a connection, the first spiritual action in the month of Cheshvan. Sunday morning at 10:30, the class number 8 on science and Torah. Next Monday, 3 classes. We will start with this class at 8:30 by starting with section 75. At 5:30, we'll be teaching a class on relativity as part of moving to the consciousness of mind over matter in our basic class. And then 11 a.m., we will be teaching the 13th class, or the 15th class in the Sefer Yetzirah series. I wish you all a beautiful week. And I wish you all shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello.